All right, let me read to you that last verse. O send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me thy truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed, I see the Lord. I know you keep that in mind tonight. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Now, I want everybody to give your seatbelt a tug here. All right, everybody strapped in good and tight? All right, we're moving on tonight. Yes, I told you, tug that belt. We're moving on tonight. And I picked a whale of a week to move on. Folks, listen, I am moving on, but I got to say one thing. I'll explode if I don't say one thing. Look here, while you're watching the right arm, the right hand, watch this one over here. Because something in the milk ain't clean. Now, I haven't figured it out yet, but something in the milk is not clean. There is some bacteria in there somewhere, and it will come out soon. But something is amiss. Something is amiss. And I am so glad that Uncle Obama knows what's best for me so that he says I couldn't handle those pictures. Well, if that's what, I'm glad he's watching out for me. Oh, something's not right, folks. Something is not right. And I don't know if you drove past the gas pumps today, but something's not right. Oil came down, gas went up. Yes, oil came down. It certainly did. Let me just give you a little caveat here. I'm going to start this tonight. If I swap back and forth over the next few weeks, over the next few months until the rapture takes place, you all will understand. But I've got to move on. I feel like I need to move on. It's time for me to move on, and so I hope that you will allow me to do that. All right, Psalm 12. Look, please, at this great psalm. I have preached from these verses many, many times over the years, and I want to start here tonight. Verse 6, it says, the words, notice that's plural, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to show you what that means, not tonight, but maybe next Wednesday night. Tried in a furnace of fire, furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's amazing. We'll learn that next week. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Now, whose job is it to keep them? It's God's job. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and how long? Forever. All right. Now, let me just say, I did not write this. All right, please. Now, you turn to the front of your Bible and you will not see my name there. I did not write this. God wrote this. And God said that his words were pure. And God said that he is going to preserve his word forever. Forever. Now, how long is forever? Well, it is forever, all right? And that's a promise from God. All right, let's pray real quickly, and then we'll continue on. Now, Father, bless and help us tonight. Give us ears to hear. And Father, I pray that we will use our ability to reason, that we will use our faith and what we know to be written in the eternal Word of God. And Lord, may we appropriate all that we're going to get tonight. Lord, help us to receive the message and receive your word. And Lord, these are pure words that we just read. These are Bible pure words. And so, Father, help us to hide the word of God in our hearts so that we'll be pure, so we won't sin against thee. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 400 years ago yesterday, 400 years ago yesterday, the first King James Bible came off the printing press in England. 400 years ago yesterday. Since that day, for 400 years now, the King James Version of the Bible has never been out of print. It was the first book on the printing press, bound there to stay. And although it has been banned and burned and belittled and banished, it is still the best-selling book in the world every year. Millions are given away every year. And just about every year, someone digs one out of an old library, or one is found in a vault somewhere, and it's worth millions. So millions are given away, and others are found, and they're worth millions. It's an amazing book, the Bible. The psalmist said in verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words." Now, folks, listen very carefully. Just a little reasoning. Now, you all know that I've been wanting to do this for a couple of months now, and I've been able to think some things through and write them down, and I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say to you. For the English-speaking people, the King James Bible is the one faith by which we all speak the same thing. Now let that sink into you. Remember, Paul said there is one faith. Where do we get that faith? Faith comes by and hearing by the word. The King James Bible is the one faith by which we all speak the same thing. Now, I find it interesting that in the Old Testament, God gave one tabernacle. One. There were not a whole bunch of tabernacles. There was one. One tabernacle. And according to Exodus 26:6 and Numbers 15:16, God gave only one law and one manner. One law. Not several, not a few, not a couple. He gave one law. It is interesting that the Bible speaks of multiple prophets. Prophets of old, speaking with one mouth. And you know the amazing thing is, they all wrote over a period of about 1,400 years. And not one time did they ever get together and hold a conference to decide who was going to write on what. And yet, it all meshes and blends as one book, one revelation, one truth. The Bible speaks of multiple prophets speaking with one mouth, and even of two witnesses in the book of the Revelation having one mouth. I had never noticed that, but check it. The two witnesses, yet they have one mouth. And in the same light, when the words of God came to the New Testament church in the book of 1 Corinthians, Christians were told to let one interpret. Do you think all this is coincidental? No, God's saying something. Those who are in Christ will find the English Word of God in this one place, and it will keep us in one accord. It's an amazing analogy when you think of it. The Bible will keep us in one accord in this, it's kept in one place so that we might be one mind and can with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, 3, and 4, Paul said that in the Old Testament, God's people did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. All through the pages of the King James Bible, God provides the same spiritual nourishment for all of us. I can read the Bible, and you can read the Bible, and yet we can all know the Word of God. It's an amazing book. And just as there is only one set of legal statutes by which a criminal is judged, so must there be just one book which is available to everyone by which those who speak English will one day be judged out of that book. All right, now, hold your place here. Go over to the New Testament. Go to Philippians chapter 3 for just a moment. Philippians chapter 3. Let me begin reading in verse 13. In verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Now listen very carefully to this next verse. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us," what's the next word? "Walk by the," what? "Same rule. Let us mind the same thing." What is what is this same rule that we walk by? What is this mind that we are to have? Right here. The same rule. This same rule and this same mind is found in the pages of this one Bible, the King James Bible. Folks, I think it only stands to reason that there should be one Bible. I think it stands to reason. Just as there is one faith, one Lord, one Savior, one baptism, there should only be one book whereby we all speak the same thing. And of course, the devil knows fully well that there is confusion that comes when there are a multitude of voices being spoken. Right? When there's a multitude of voices being spoken, there is confusion. And to date, there are over now 400 different versions, translations, paraphrases, and voices being spoken today in the English language, all as the words of God. Now, folks, I submit to you, just using common sense, that they cannot all be the words of God. Listen to this. Things which are different are not the same. Does that make sense? Things that are different are not the same. And I find it just absolutely amazing how that little word one and same runs through the whole of the Bible. Now let me show you a couple of things from our text now in Psalm 12. That was my introduction. Everybody got that? Yes. All right, you see, you maybe a little different than what you were anticipating. I'll get to all the stuff that makes you mad soon. But I'm just trying to ground you right now. Let me ground you, okay? Maybe if I ground you the right way, you won't get upset at me in a couple of weeks. Let me show you a couple things just from simple things in the Bible. Just simple reasoning. Folks, look at verse 6 and verse 7. According to the text. According to the Bible. The text is the Bible. According to the text, God promised to keep His word pure. This is what we refer to as the Bible doctrine of preservation. The doctrine of preservation. The doctrine of preservation is based on the Bible itself. Since the Bible is to be our final authority, our one authority, our only authority in matters of faith and practice, it is important to see what the Bible says about the matter of preservation. Now look at your Bible. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. It is very clear that the psalmist recognized that God was responsible for keeping His word pure. That's preservation, that God could preserve His Bible. Now, what is the doctrine of preservation? Well, it is simply that the God who inspired a Bible can preserve a Bible. God knew that you and I would be here in 2011. And God knew that we would be living in a world that is an absolute mess like our world is. And God knew that you and I would need strength and would need truth. And so God has promised that he would preserve his word so that you and I would know what truth is. Folks, when we look at our world around us today, there is truth does not stand out to me. Falsehood, deception stands out to me. Lies and deceit stands out to me. Murder and stealing and debauchery stands out to me. Where's truth? Right here it is. It's right here in this book. And God knew that. Folks, we just spent the last year and a couple of months looking at God's truth so far as the future is concerned. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty good about the present because of what I've learned about the future. And that's preservation. Now, you're in the Psalms. So let me have you hold your place here, but go over to Psalm 105. The Bible has a lot to say. A lot to say about preservation. Look at verse 7. 105, verse 7. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant for a while. No, it didn't say for a while. What's it say? Forever. He hath remembered his covenant forever. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Wow. That's a long time. 1,000 generations, that's a long time. Look, please, at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And look at verse 89. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word. What's the next word? Is. Is. That's present tense. That means that when David wrote this back 2,700 years ago, that it was settled then. And that means in 2011, it's still settled. Right? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Folks, listen. You ought never have to vote on anything in the church that has already been settled in heaven. I spoke with a pastor last week who told me that they had a business meeting last Wednesday night a week ago. And they took out of their statement of faith the doctrine of preservation. And he said, what am I supposed to do? And I said, well, if it were me, I would have resigned Wednesday night when the vote was done. If it were me. And he said, well, what am I going to do? And how am I going to feed my family? I said, God's still on the throne. Well, how am I going to pay my bills? God is still on the throne. And you ought not vote on anything in the church that's already been settled in heaven. And God said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's preservation. That's preservation. Look at verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Look at verse 160. 160. In 160, it says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Every one. Every one. What is that, folks? That's preservation. The God who is able to inspire a Bible is the God who can preserve a Bible. And it's right here in your Bible that God will preserve His Word. Folks, that's why John wrote at the end of Revelation and said, hey, church, don't mess with the Bible. Don't take away from it. Don't add to it. It's God's Word. It's not yours to monkey with. He's the one that is in charge of the preservation, not you and not me. All right, now, hold your place in Psalm 12. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. I knew you'd bring that up. So go over to the New Testament. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Verse 33 said, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away. That's comforting, isn't it? But if you've read 2 Peter 3, you know that's going to happen. The heavens and the earth will be destroyed one of these days. Not by the flood, not by water this time, but the folks out in Missouri and Iowa are glad to hear that. Kentucky and Arkansas. Not by water, but it's going to be destroyed the next time by fire. But it will be destroyed. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But my what? Words, plural, shall not pass away. What is that? That's preservation. That is God preserving His Word forever. Forever. It's almost like God's going to make sure that there'll never be anybody throughout eternity who can pull a Lucifer and point their finger and say, you were wrong about that. No, I wasn't wrong. It's right here. But you shouldn't have done that. Oh, yes, I should have. It says so right here. It's preserved forever. Forever. All right? Now, go on over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look, please, at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's how we were born the first time. We were born of corruptible seed the first time, our mother and our father. And that's why we're dying, because it's corruptible. You with me? Okay, being born again, not of corruptible seed, born again. We're born the first time of corruptible seed, but we're born the second time, the new birth, the spiritual birth, born again, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth, that's inspiration, and abideth, that's preservation forever. Folks, your Bible is eternal just like the God who gave it. Why can we not believe that? Why do we have problems with that? I do not understand that. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. We're finding that out, aren't we? And all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Now, hold your place right there, all right? Borrow an arm if you need to, all right? Go back to Isaiah chapter 40. Folks, look here. This is so neat. This is so neat. Let me show you what Peter did here. Now, what did he just talk about? The word of God and how it's going to abide forever. He's talking about preservation, is he not? Now, look at Isaiah. All right, now, look here. Here's Peter, first century. Here's the Apostle Peter, first century. And here's the cross. Here's the empty tomb. Here's the cross. Here's our Lord's 3.5-year earthly ministry. Here's his birth. And then 700 years before his birth, here's Isaiah. You with me? You with me? Everybody got that? 700 years before Christ, Isaiah writes. What's he say? Look at chapter 40. And look, please, at verse 6. He said, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Have we heard that before? Yes. Have you heard that before? I just read it to you a minute ago in 1 Peter. And the voice said, cry. And he said, well, what shall I cry? Cry. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The point is, folks, 1 Peter 1:23 is quoting Isaiah 40, 6-8, which is direct proof that this scripture had already been preserved for over 700 years. You say, well, I wonder how that happened. God did it. God did it. You know, our problem is we simply don't want to believe the word of God. Somehow, somewhere, and I know what it is, it's our pride, but somewhere along the way, we got to thinking that God really didn't mean what he said, so we thought we'd get a translation committee and help God out. And the end result is over 400 perversions of the Word of God. Over 400 perversions where men thought they knew more than the Holy Spirit knew, and that men knew more than God knew, when God said, I will preserve my Word. I will do it. And God has done it. And folks, you and I can sit here tonight and know that we have a Bible that has been preserved of God. It is God's eternal word. We would all be so much better off if we would just simply read the Bible and take it literally to mean what God says. When God says that his word will last forever, that it will last for 1,000 generations, I believe that means that God will preserve his word forever. Folks, one thing you've got, you've got to admit this. You have not heard me stand up here and say a better translation of this word is this. You have not heard me say that. I will not get up to you and say, if you will look at this in another version. I will never say that. I'm just going to read God's word and take it at face value. You say, well, Pastor, there's some things that I don't understand when I read the King James Bible. Folks, listen, there's some things I don't yet understand when I read the King James Bible. But you know what? If I keep reading it and keep reading it, it's not long before I figure it out. Let's trust the word of God. And yet, God says, I'll preserve my word. He said it. He said it. We need to believe that. And yet, here's the sad thing, folks. There is just a small handful, if that many. There is just a small handful of Bible colleges in America today. And even fewer seminaries in America today that still believe in Bible preservation. As a matter of fact, there are many seminaries today that exist just to explain away every verse that teaches Bible preservation. That's their whole purpose for being around. The Bible tells us that the writers had no problems quoting scripture that had been preserved. Isn't that amazing? Paul had no problems quoting preserved scriptures to make his point. Peter had no problem with it. We just read that. I mean, there are umpteen examples found in the Bible. I mentioned Peter quoting Isaiah 40. Paul quotes extensively from the Old Testament scriptures in Romans 9, 10, and 11. And in the four gospel writers, we find they often went back to the Old Testament scriptures and gave credibility to our Lord's ministry by proving that what he did was in accordance to that which had been prophesied about him that was written in the Old Testament. Don't you remember all the times it says, and this was done in fulfillment of Jeremiah the prophet, or this was done as fulfilled in the prophecy by Isaiah? I mean, over and over and over, the New Testament writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they call it to our attention, teaching us that God has indeed preserved his word. Each time a New Testament writer quotes from the Old Testament, he is demonstrating that God has been able to preserve his word for each generation. Preservation is highly, highly debated today because ultimately the preservation issue will decide the translation issue. And preservation is completely a matter of faith in God's power. Well, folks, you just happen to be looking at a preacher tonight that believes that God has the power to preserve his word. If God can create the heavens and the earth out of nothing, don't you think for a minute that God cannot preserve his word? And he said he would do it. And either he has done it or he's lied. I believe he's done it. It's that simple. And I think that's one reason why God has blessed this ministry like he has. I mean, folks, I've done some things. I have preached some things. I have said some things. I have made decisions that would have split the average church in America. Split it right down the middle. But yet God blesses this ministry. Explain that to me. I'll explain it to you. It's called, we hold up the book. We don't question it. We don't argue about it. You have no idea. I mean, every week of my life, somebody will ask me in Carroll County or in Southern Pennsylvania or in Baltimore or in Western Baltimore County or somewhere within 100 miles of here, somebody will ask me, you mean you believe that the Bible is inspired and preserved? Yes. Well, I didn't know there were any of you left. Well, here's one. And granted, we're getting few in number. We are getting few in number. And you know, a lot of you're coming up to me and you're saying, Pastor, I noticed so-and-so's not speaking at the sword this year. Right? Why? Right here. This is it. This is the issue, preservation. You say, well, how are they explaining that? Here's how they explain it. They say, the originals were inspired. Oh, do you believe in inspiration? Yes, I do. I sure do. And then you get to digging around and you find out what they believe is that the originals were inspired. Folks, can I tell you, nobody on this planet who is alive today has ever seen an original manuscript. They're gone. They're gone. Why do you believe the originals were inspired? Well, I just have faith they were. Then why don't you have faith that the God who can inspire a Bible can keep a Bible inspired? Why don't you believe that? And it's pride. Because we'll read something, well, that's not the way I understand that. And we want to change the Bible. And folks, that is exactly what they did back in the first century when the Apostle Paul himself wrote and told and warned and said, there are those who would corrupt the Word of God. How did they corrupt it? They made it say what they wanted it to say instead of what God said. Case in point, Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And some theologian comes along and says, well, wait a minute, virgins can't have babies. Virgins can't have babies. Now, Rabbi, can virgins have babies?
Oh, no. Oh, no, they can't have babies. No. Oh, well, we better scratch that out. We'll scratch that out. We'll put young maiden.
Yeah. You said they wouldn't do that. Really? Too late. They've already done it. And that's just one. There are umpteen examples of how they have butchered and taken the deity of Christ out of the Bible and taken the virgin birth out and taken the resurrection out and taken the second coming out. And it just keeps going on and on. And every time you see a new billboard up or you see a new advertisement in the paper or you go down to the bookstore in the mall and you see a new advertisement standing out there, get your latest edition, you just mark it down. There's two things behind it. Number one, bias. There's some agenda that is in that Bible that's not in anything that's come out yet. Number two, bucks. Bias or bucks? I think we'll just stick with what we got. Because when I read this one, and by the way, you know all these verses on preservation that I just read to you a minute ago? You know, in all the new Bibles, they have monkeyed with all those verses, and they do not say that the Word of God is going to last forever. They have played with the words to where it no longer teaches preservation. But my Bible still does. All right, that's point one. Man, this is going to be mark as I go. I can see that. Folks, listen, just using reasoning, if it is preserved as God says it is, then we best quit messing with it and start believing it. Just start believing that it's the Word of God. All right. Well, I don't have time to even start the next one because everybody with me? You understand what I'm saying? I got to lay the foundation. Got to lay the foundation, folks. It as Popeye would say, it am what it am. You know, it am what it am. I mean, it's either God's word or it's not. All right, finish this for me. In the beginning was the
Word.
And the
Word
was with God, and the
Word
was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. I'm going to give you some homework. All right, here's your homework. I want you to look up Mark chapter 16 and verse 12. Mark chapter 16 and verse 12. Now, don't read any of your marginal notes or any of your footnotes or any of that. Don't read any of that. All right? Don't read it. Because in a lot of Bibles, and I'm not accusing you of having one, but I know that they're here. I know that they're here. It's in the Schofield. It's in the Ryrie. I think it's in the Ryrie. It's in a bunch of them. But don't read the footnotes and don't read the marginal notes because it'll tell you that this verse is not supposed to be in your Bible. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Mark chapter 16 is the verse, or the chapter, and verse 12. And there's a little statement in there that says, and it says, he appeared in another form. He appeared in another form. All right, help me again. In the beginning was the
Word.
The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't I remember something about Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace, and then there was a fourth man in the fire. You remember that? And they said, did we not throw three in? Said, yeah, we threw three. Well, there's a fourth man in the fire, and that fourth one is like unto the Son of God. Okay, so Word, Daniel, Son of God, Matthew or Luke 2, a baby, 12 years old in the temple, a 12-year-old boy, 33-year-old man hanging on the cross, resurrected, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended. They thought he was the gardener. Here, he appears to some disciples in another form. John turned around in Revelation 1 and saw that his hair was as white as snow and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and he fell at his feet as though dead. And then John turned around again and he saw him sitting at the right hand of God the Father, not as the Son of God, but as the Lamb of God. You with me? The living word, several forms. The written word. Let me see what this says here. It says the Holy Bible. So how do you know that? Because it's in English. Yeah, press one. For English, press one. The Holy Bible. Listen to this. Containing the Old and New Testaments. Translated out of the original tongues and with the former translations. Hang on to that. Diligently compared and revised by His Majesty's special command. Appointed to be read in churches. The Word of God in English. And Pastor Todd is down the hallway and he's not using this one because they don't get this one. If he were using this one, all those Spanish folks back there in prayer meeting tonight in the Spanish church, they'd all be sitting there going, what's he saying? Can you understand what he's reading? So he's reading now the Word of God in Spanish. When we were in the Philippines, they all had Cebuano. When I was in China, they all had Mandarin. It's a horrible translation. There's a good one now, but it was horrible. And the amazing thing is one of those English-speaking Chinese pastors over there, native, but he speaks English, took it in high school and college. He told me, I said, oh, you got a King James Bible? He said, yeah. He said, I use it to correct this Mandarin Bible. I said, get out. He goes, no, I do. I use this to correct this one. And I got to looking at it and asking questions, and yeah, sure enough, it was taken out of the critical text. So he uses this. Yeah. So Jesus, a lot of forms. The Word of God, a lot of forms. English, French, Spanish, German, Greek, Hebrew, Latin, Aramaic. But there is not one language any better than another. They're all the Word of God. If they're, as it says here, translated out of the original tongues and with former translations. I'll teach you what that means. It is amazing. It is amazing. I did not know that. I'll be honest with you. I have never looked at that page. I have never looked at that title page. Never. But that's what it says. Translated out of the original tongues and with the former translations.